Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity, the highway to north, this is Safety Wars for Friday, November 1st, 2024. Let me get that. Yes, we are on air. It's whatever that is. We're good. We're on the air. How's everybody doing out there? Hopefully you're okay. It's been a couple of days. We have had a lot of nighttime work come up the last few days, and also Halloween festivities. Anyway, we're out there. We are streaming live on Safety FM and on some of the streamers here. Apparently someone doesn't like it that I went into politics. Well, it is. We're political creatures, and this is like the whole big thing here coming up on Tuesday. I know. And so I did my voting on Tuesday, this past Tuesday. And so we're doing a lot of nighttime work, not daytime. And so I said, you know, voting, we have early voting here in New York. And I said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to go on early voting, right? Early voting, take advantage of it. Take advantage of it a little bit, you know, this way, because I know on Tuesday it's going to be a disaster. There's going to be lawsuits. There's going to be people upset. There's going to be people, you know, and everything else. They're not going to have enough people. You know, the whole thing. No. Someone claiming there being a water main break. There is no water main break. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that happened last time. Right. Not in my town, down in Georgia. And that they had to do, you know, move this, move that, you know. Let's talk about vindication here, right? I'm going to talk, that's a part of this here. Vindication. So basically, we've always had this thing that, well, we've gone on, and I've mentioned it over the years, specifically on, We're manipulated by a lot of stuff. Some of the other people on the network, and I have no arguments with people on the network, they describe it that there are different incentives for the reason why we do what we do. And that's fair enough, right? There, we have incentives, incentives built in all the time. They could be tangible, they could be intangible, meaning measurable, where, hey, I'm going to throw you a couple of bucks. I'm going to throw you that Dunkin' Donuts, we're not allowed to call it Dunkin' Donuts, but Dunkin', you know, thing, you know, I know one job they gave this out, one facility, I should say, they gave out things and everything else. And, you know, when I did my master's project at the great university, New Jersey Institute of Technology, I did it on environmental reporting in the news. And I said, well, how things are not really accurate. And this is back in 2003, and, you know, the media is screwing your, you know, screwing with your head, and maybe what you're thinking isn't really the way it is, and everybody has a political bent on here, and everything else. And now we would call that fake news, regardless of what your political things is, where you're not getting the truth, you're not getting the accuracy, you're not getting this, you're not doing that. That's why I like to stick to the mainstream news, very, very rarely, and I'll tell you when I do it, will I ever quote something from anything other than mainstream news or government websites, because I don't want to be accused of doing the same thing that I accuse other people of doing, what I don't like other people doing. There's no end to these political ads. And in my family, we discuss these. What you see on that TV screen or on that computer screen is not accurate. It's not the way it is, especially when you're dealing with non-governmental organizations with a political bent, when you're dealing with politicians, obviously. And there's a lot of stuff being left out. And laws have changed over the years, so and everything else. So we're going to go and take a quick commercial break. I'm going to do some pulling up documents here and everything else. So we're going to get into the harsh reality.
From the front lines of the safety war, it's Safety Wars with your host, Jim Posel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
I promise you, we're going to be doing OSHA news and the regular stuff, but some stuff came across our feed that that we got to talk about.
This is going to blow your mind. There's a new daytime talk show on your local cable access station. What happens when safety, scandal, and heartbreak collide? Welcome to Safety Wars, the talk show. Today's episode is a doozy. Imagine confronting your unsafe supervisor who just happens to be your ex-wife's new hubby. Talk about a powder keg. But wait, there's more. We've got an exclusive interview with a corporate exec who's taken out life insurance policies on his riskiest workers, hoping to cash in on a deadly mishap. Yup, you heard that right. It's a real-life plot twist you can't make up. Tune in as Jim Posel, CSP, our very own Jerry Springer of safety, dives deep into this explosive confrontation. Sparks will fly and secrets will be exposed. Catch the full episode on Safety Wars on YouTube and your favorite podcast platform. Don't miss out on the drama that could save your life. Like and share now and stay safe, folks.
Okay, so this past week, there was issued on October 30th, just 2 days ago. This is an interim staff report of the Committee on the Judiciary and the Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government by the U.S. House of Representatives, October 30th, 2024. I promise we'll get to we'll get to safety news here, but this is important because, we need to know where we're getting our information from. We need to know whether or not it's accurate or not. We need to know what's going on because that's all part of safety, with psychological safety. Gaslighting, big part of it. Well, we see it this way, and the truth is something else, or we're not getting the truth and everything else, and it's important for us as safety professionals to discern who's telling the truth. Why? Because we're usually the ones where a lot of this stuff gets pointed at. Maybe we get involved in conversations. Even though they say don't talk about politics and work, it's kind of hard not to get around it nowadays. I tell you, everywhere I go, and I do a lot of small audits and small job site visits, say, Jimmy, we need an audit here. We need an accident investigation here. We need a training class here. And that goes along with it, and I have some longer-term jobs. So we're going to start out. So with my master's thesis, the conclusion was that we're not being told everything. Real simple, we're not being told everything. Now, in the conspiracy theory world, there was a story going around. I've heard it since 2012, even though it's become more popular in 2019. An image share, this is from, checkyourfact.com. And I know this to be true here with this as stated here. An image shared on Facebook claims former President Barack Obama signed a law in 2012 that make it perfectly legal for the media to purposefully lie to the American public. The reference law, the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2013, mentions nothing about making it legal for private media organizations to lie to the American people. That's further to this false. It goes on to say this. The post is likely referencing a change the legislation made, meaning the National NDAF, right, National Defense, right, made to the to another law. The post is likely referencing a change in the legislation that we just mentioned, made to the U.S. Information Educational Exchange Act of 1948, a law also known as the Smith-Mundt Act, that authorized and set rules around the dissemination of information from U.S. government-funded media outlets like Voice of America. And we do use Voice of America's stories here because they're open source. There are no copyrights. According to the U.S. Agency for Global Media, that was from the U.S. Agency for Global Media, broadcasts news and information about the United States and the world to audiences abroad, meaning it's focused outside the United States. The Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, contained within the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2013. Oh, isn't this great? I had just had, want to get on the camera? Wow. Say hello? Yes, that is James saying hello. Just handed me something here. Thank you, son. And you couldn't pick a, you could have been a better time to come down, right? So let's back up. The Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, contained within the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2013, eased some restrictions so that media produced by the U.S. Agency for Global Media and intended for foreign audience could be distributed domestically upon request, according to its test. Prior to its passage, the content was banned from being disseminated in America. The act did not make it illegal for the independent, privately owned media organizations, where most Americans get their news, to purposefully lie as opposed to inaccurately suggest. Many have criticized the U.S. Agency for Global Media and its content. The agency has denied its work as propaganda. Well, there are no. This goes the more. Sometimes it's point of view. So, from one point of view, things may sound ridiculous. From another point of view, maybe not so much. And what we call in the human and organizational performance world, something that I had a discussion with the great Todd Conklin at one point when we met, was the HOP, human organizational performance, and applies such broad-based to such a broad-based thing, broad-based application to so many different areas. That's true. So based on that, you know, context drives behavior. What's the context, right? Context, you got to consider context. So maybe your context, this is true. Maybe it's a lie to someone else. And somewhere in the middle is the quote-unquote truth, which we try to get to. So that's number one. Number two, back to our report. Stay on message, Jimmy. Stay on message. But what we get, right? So this is the election. This is, again, open source. We're going to share this. Do. Okay. Here we have the election interference. I'm going to make myself small here so everybody can see this at home. All right. Election interference. How the FBI pre-bunked a true story about the Biden family's corruption in advance of the 2020 presidential election. This is from the Committee on the Judiciary and the Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government. U.S. House of Representatives, October 30th, 2024. And at 5 a.m. Eastern Time, less than 3 weeks before the 2020 presidential election, the New York Post published a potentially election-altering news story about a years-long influence peddling scheme carried out by the family of Democratic nominee for president, former Vice President Joe Biden. Right, the Post article, that's from the New York Post, detailed how Hunter Biden leveraged his famous last name to provide foreign officials with access to his father in exchange for the Biden family's significant financial gain. This information was recovered from the hard drive of a laptop attributed to Hunter Biden, and the article included pictures of a signed federal subpoena demonstrating that the FBI had seized that hard drive. Neither Hunter Biden nor the Biden presidential campaign denied the allegations or the provenance of the laptop. Indeed, the Biden Department of Justice has since authenticated the laptop as evidence in federal court. So, we were told, and a full disclosure here, I know the guy who handed the laptop over. All right, I did business with him a number of years ago. You could go look up his name. I'm not going to do. And he so far has disappeared, never to be seen again, somewhere out west. I know where, but I'm not going to say where that is. All right. Because we have a lot of mutual acquaintances. All right. So, right, this is one of those times that we are a little tiny sliver part of this story here on this. So, basically, we had all these people deny all this stuff going on in 2020. All deny, oh, this is a fake. We had all these FBI and spy people come out. Oh, this is fake. This is all baloney. This is groove, no horse groove. Now, all of a sudden, 4 years later, right, less than a week from another election here, now, oh, it's all true. According to this, right, oh, it's all true. All right here, right for you. This is why I read government press releases. This was in the New York Post, by the way, not covered anywhere else, really, except for conspiracy theory stuff. But I got the actual thing here. I got the actual thing here. Soon after the Post article was published, something strange happened. Almost immediately, major social media platforms, including Twitter, now X, and Facebook, the modern-day digital town square. Remember that thing, town square. Censored the true story about Biden family influence peddling. The town square, in this case, the digital town square, traditionally is like where anything goes, for the most part, my understanding here. So sort of like major gathering areas, right? So you have the town's major gathering area. A lot could go on in a town square, protests and everything else, right? As a consequence, millions of Americans cast a presidential vote unaware of serious, credible allegations of misconduct levied against one of the two candidates. The censorship served to benefit one candidate over the other and wrongfully affected the 2020 election. This is a congressional report here. Today's these companies and their executives belatedly admit that their censorship was wrong. That was all covered here, right? Why were the social media companies so ready to censor a true story about Hunter Biden featuring in a prominent American newspaper? Because the FBI had primed them for it. For nearly a year, the FBI had been conditioning social media companies to expect a hack and leak, quote-unquote, operation from Russia involving Hunter Biden. In more than 30 meetings across 8 months, the FBI led big tech to believe that the allegations in the Post story were Russian disinformation, even though the FBI had authenticated Hunter Biden's laptop nearly a year prior. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. All right? So, this is part of what I'm not advocating for one candidate or another. I'm advocating for the truth here. Right? What is the vindication? I brought this stuff out years ago, 2003. You're being lied to. You're being manipulated. Are your thoughts really your thoughts? What are your incentives? What's your context? What are your thought processes? Are we okay with this? Remember, Joe Biden's not running here. So it does make any difference. Who do you look for truth? Are you going to be like a... no, and I know how it is in life. They got us going haywire here. I suffer burnout often because we're working and right to service our clients and our work here on the great Safety FM network that I am fortunate enough to be on. Working with great people out there, 17 other people we're affiliated with. I did a presentation right up the street here for the ASSP. Hey, have you ever heard of Todd Conklin? Absolutely. How about Safety FM? And, you know, where do we get all this information, human and organizational performance? Well, you can hire me. Or the other thing is listen to our network, Safety FM. Great people here. Learn the truth from different points of view. Don't be like that person, right? And we hear this all the time. We have to wear safety glasses? Really? Well, so-and-so told me, and they're dead serious. Nobody ever told me I had to wear safety glasses. Just like today, I had to hear from a guy, nobody ever told us that we actually had to inspect our equipment, and they're operating aerial and boom lifts. No one told us that for years. What the hell? And you know where people are buying certificates from off the street? Literally, I was recently solicited by someone. Hey, how long does a 30-hour course take? 30 hours? So what's my point here? Don't be like that person that reads the one line thing, the 30-second political ad. I don't care what your politics are. Right, it's more, I don't have a problem with people voting differently than me. That's fine. People voting differently, really. I've never had that. What I have a problem with is people voting, not voting at all. That's what the problem. If you're a voter, great. Hey, that's sacred. That's sacrosanct. Okay, whatever. But what the issue is here, who do we believe and why do we believe it? Because I can pull up plenty of things on the right side that are not true. I can pull up plenty of things on the left side that are not true. That's not what the point is. The point is you got to do your research. You got to carry your own water. You got to do what you need to do because this is the kind of stuff that happens. And this is 4 years too late with this. But remember, we still have people out there that are okay with this stuff, that are with this and everything else. So we're going to go that are still... You know, they don't realize they've been lied to. They don't realize it. I'm telling you, you've been bullshitted. You've been lied to. Please go and do some research out there. Listen to this program. Listen to others. And now we're going to get on with the safety stuff.
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
I'm sure you've heard the news. Safety training is evolving, and you should be too. Outdated safety training isn't just boring, it's dangerous. If your safety trainer is still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety from 25 years ago, it's time for a change. Imagine safety training that actually addresses the hazards unique to your workplace. No more generic, one-size-fits-all solutions. The Safety Wars team at safetywars.com is here to revolutionize how you approach safety with customized training that's relevant, engaging, and effective. Contact Jim Polzel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces. Say goodbye to outdated safety training and hello to a safer, more productive environment. Visit safetywars.com now.
Hold on here. One more song for you folks.
People make mistakes, you know it's true. Falling down and rising up anew. Learning from the scars and heal the bruise.
everybody's got their own excuse. Context drives behavior, can't you see? The past and present shape our destiny. The way you act is not just up to me. In this dance, we're bound by history. Rain fixes nothing, we're wasting time. Pointing fingers never solves a crime. And all a reflection of their inner call. Rain fixes nothing, we're wasting time. Pointing fingers never solves a crime. Lift each other up and let us climb to better heights and brighter dawns we find. Nothing, we're wasting time. Pointing fingers never solves a crime. Lift each other up and let us climb to better heights and brighter dawns we find.
And that was Safety Warrior with Human and Organizational Performance. Who knew that they had music dealing with human and organizational performance? I don't know. Royalty-free, by the way. So we don't have to worry about things. All right. So here we have OSHA news release. New York City region. Judge affirms serious violations. This is from last week. Against Rochester roofing contractor and expose workers to a four-story falls from the Village of Newark Municipal Building. Pardon me. An administrative law judge has ordered Rochester Commercial Roofing Company paid $16,782 in penalties for two serious fall protection and ladder safety violations after an investigation and litigation by the U.S. Department of Labor. All right. So they had that alleged safety violations, including that the employer failed to protect an employee from a 40-foot fall hazard as they stood near the edge of the roof. So basically, some good news and some bad news. They fought some stuff was vacated, and everything else with this. But the bottom line is that we have people over here standing on the edge of a roof, residential or not. It's illegal to do if you have a 6 foot or higher fall, as even in residential. They did not really start enforcing residential fall protection until roughly 2011, 2010. They meaning OSHA. Now, so what's basically happened with the residential roofing market? Unless you're dealing with a very small company that's living, and the house is on the back streets, some backwater streets or something, normally this work in my neighborhood at least gets done on the weekend or on a holiday. Why? OSHA does not work on a weekend or a holiday. Call them up, right? Now, I'm sure that they have higher priorities and things. I get they can't do all of them, but guess what? It happens here with that. No, they can't be, you know, they cannot be, no, right? Coming down on you, right? This is the Rite of Valkyrie, so, like, you know, And they're not, they can't come sweeping down on and get you wherever you are. They can't. No, they can't do that, right? Missouri Grain Cooperative could have prevented an employee's fatal, and this is from the 29th, on Monday. Monday? Yeah, I guess Monday. No, Tuesday. Missouri Grain Cooperative could have prevented an employee's fatal engulfment in a storage bin in May 2024 had it followed federal workplace safety requirements. Responding to the employer's report of a worker fatality, investigators with the department's OSHA learned that three employees of a certain company operating as another company were removing corn screenings comprised of clumps of corn dust from a bin at the company's Hamilton facility. One worker entered the bin to clear screenings and became engulfed when the screening shifted. Another worker tried to rescue his coworker but was engulfed to his waist before being rescued by first responders. OSHA found that the Columbia Grain Cooperative had not completed a required bin entry permit before allowing the worker inside. Additionally, the conveyor was running with the bin's bottom gate open, increasing the risk of product shifting and the risk of engulfment. So this is in a silo, it sounds like, and they call it a bin. It might have been a silo or something smaller, and the bottom was not locked down and tagged out, which I think it needed to be locked down and tagged out. It says de-energized, so what happens? It could have stuffed silage, right, the material inside the silo. Silage could have came out and then sucking the employee down into it, likely leading to severe injury or death. By neglecting basic safety standards, the company put the workers at serious risk, said OSHA Area Director Karina Lorek in Kansas City, Missouri. Through its outreach and alliance efforts, OSHA works closely with industry partners, going on and on and on, so they fine them for one willful and five serious violations and propose penalties of $241,887. What I'm interested in seeing is what regulation they cited them under here, because I believe this sounds like agriculture, but it's actually general industry, probably. So let's see how this shakes out. Pardon me. Got the sniffles here. Citation 1, item 1. Type of violation serious. This is 1910.28. Except that, and this is walking and working surfaces. Except that's provided elsewhere in section of 1910.28. The employer did not ensure that each employee on a walking and working surface with an unprotected side or edge that is 4 feet or more above a lower level is protected from falling by one or more of the systems described in the regulation. Employees were exposed to fall hazard. Was this written by AI? On or about May 17, 2024, employees were exposed to fall hazard. Okay. Who the hell wrote this? Me? Employee engaged in cleaning duties for not using any kind of personal fall arrest system while standing on a conveyor that is approximately 8 foot 9 inches above the ground. So when OSHA comes to your facility and they start saying, using exact measurements like that, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go out there and get your handy dandy tape measure, because sometimes they say 5 foot 11, or sometimes they say 6 foot, and it's really 5 foot 10. Right, so this is what you want to do. 16,131. Citation 1, item 2. Again, this is 1910.272, so they're concerning this general industry, not agriculture. The permit for entering bin silos or tanks in the grain handling facility did not certify that precautions contained in 29 CFR 1910.272G has been implemented. So they did not have basically a confined space entry permit, but this is under different regulations, grain bin entry permit. 16,131. Citation 1, item 3, serious. This is 1910.272. This is under the grain situation, but this is like lockout, tagout, right? Prior to entry, all mechanical, electrical, hydraulic, and pneumatic equipment which presented a danger to employees inside grain storage structures in the grain handling facility were not disconnected, locked out, or tagged. The employer failed to lock and tag the conveyor for bin 8 prior to employees entering the grain storage bin while machinery was running, exposing them to an engulfing hazard. 16,131. Citation 1, item 4, 29 CFR, 0.272 G13, or 3Is, right? The atmosphere within a bin, silo, or tank in the grain handling facility was not tested for oxygen. Wow. 16,131. That's they're hitting them for the maximum here. Citation 1, item 5, type of violation serious. This is a long one, so let me read through this. No lifeline, no body harness, no fall protection. 16,131. Citation 1, 2, item 1. Willful serious. The employer did not provide equipment for rescue operations, which was specifically suited for the bin, silo, or tank being entered. The employer failed to provide employees with rescue equipment or retrieve employees in the event of an emergency or accident, exposing them to an engulfment hazard. Employee died from asphyxiation when he was engulfed in grain material while cleaning bin number 8, $161,323. Again, let's remember, everyone's innocent until proven guilty, right? All this stuff can be negotiated down, vacated, litigated, and everything else. So this is all proposed. So we're going to put that on there with that. Okay. And I need to get something to drink here, so we're going to go to another commercial break here.
In an unpredictable world, one voice rises above the chaos. Meet Jim Pozo, a seasoned safety expert who's navigated through some of the most dangerous scenarios, from anthrax, explosive cleanups, disasters, and numerous environmental cleanups, and lived to tell the tale. Now he's bringing his wealth of knowledge, insights, and experiences to you through Safety Wars. From workplace hazards to the hidden dangers in your own home, Jim covers it all with his engaging storytelling. Safety Wars isn't just a podcast. It's your guide to a safer world. Join Jim Pozo and become part of the Safety Wars revolution. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos. Safety Wars. Your safety is our mission.
Okay, and we are back. Hold on. We did not have... OSHA Recordables. Catastrophic losses. Environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Pozel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy!
All right, so we are back. Yes, I am your father. Department of Labor finds construction contractors failed to protect a rigger. As rigger, R-I-G-G-E-R, from fatal 30-story fall at Fort Lauderdale high-rise. A U.S. Department of Labor investigation found two contractors could have prevented the crane collapse at a Fort Lauderdale residential construction site in April 2024, which caused a 27-year-old rigger to suffer fatal injuries after falling approximately 30 stories. Aye, aye, aye. Investigators with the department's OSHA learned that two workers employed by a certain company were installing a section on a tower crane to increase its height when a support cable failed and the platform which they stood became displaced. One worker who was wearing the required fall protection and tied off was rescued. Another worker whose lanyard was not connected to an anchor point was fatally injured. I cannot tell you the number of times that I've seen this happen. Usually it's working at height. Project I was on today, right, I had them take me to the level that they were working. Oh, yeah, we're wearing fall protection, and you can't see that. Yeah, they're wearing a harness. You see a lanyard. But guess what? Often it's not even attached to anything. I mean, this is, if I were to tell you 2,000 times I've seen this in the last 5 years, that might be an accurate thing. Again, who has to enforce this? The competent person. The company. And usually this is the way it goes down here. All right. Usually this is the way it goes down. Somebody falls, right? Someone dies. Someone's maimed. Everybody's so upset. Oh, that was a good person. Oh, what about his family? Oh, and these are all genuine feelings. Right? And then 2 days later, it's business as usual. Same other people not tying off. Giving you a pushback, yelling and screaming, and everything else. And, you know, and I just, you know, it's like, I mean, you know, oh, they're good, you know. Oh, what a poor person that was. Well, let me ask you this. Now, and after about a week of this going on and them going back to normal, now, you pull someone to the side. I've had to do this. If you love the person so much, how come you didn't ask him to make sure his fall protection is on? Well, that's really mean, Jim. Well, maybe mean. I say a little bit more gingerly now. I say before the accident. You all been working with each other for years. You know each other either from work or from the union hall or whatever. You care about the person next to you? Maybe you should try to help. No, this, we got to change the corporate culture here. Maybe we should be looking out for your own fellow man with this. The other thing is this. We have a lot of, there are a lot of resources out there. On Safety FM, off Safety FM, government websites, videos, everything out there. On YouTube, legitimate videos that say, give accurate information. On using fall protection. If your employer is not supplying you with the correct equipment, chances are they're breaking other health and safety and Department of Labor laws and regulations also. I hate to break the news to you. Never does this happen in a vacuum. If your employer is not giving you the right equipment, you're probably not, there's a lot of other stuff they're not doing. If you're the confident person and you have a dollar and you're making that dollar or $2 more an hour, or the foreman, where in effect you're the confident person, guess what? Learn what that means, because I tell you what, if this were New York, you better learn your Miranda rights, because you better learn your Miranda rights, because this is likely would be a criminal act by somebody here. The other thing is this, and this happens beforehand, not ex post facto, but this happens beforehand. Or when I had a situation, true story, I gave Carmen for breathing air system, supplied air compressor. And we used, and all of them that I use, they have carbon monoxide detectors on them, CO detectors. So in case things get sucked in, like exhaust from an air compressor or a generator vehicle, whatever goes in there or into the air compressor, you have an alarm and you have to meet certain thresholds and everything. A lot of companies don't use them. I'm just going to put it out there. And the company, if I'm responsible for it, you're using it. Otherwise, I don't do the work. Because we had this guy, right, on this certain model of breather box, what they call them, filtering system. He went, and I did the training on it. We went through Bering Sea Gold. The episode was on carbon monoxide detector poisoning. Two of the people on the show got carbon monoxide poisoning, one from supplied air, the other one from their little shanty that they use to manage people, right? Like an ice shelter. And showed people the whole thing. Well, one employee was having problems with another employee. So what he did was he found out that this is a deadly hazard. And what he did was, and I caught it, the guy got suspended for a couple of days. He went and he shut the carbon monoxide alarm off. Oh, yeah. Shut the carbon monoxide. Why? Because he was having a workplace and personal dispute with the guy. I won't go into the reason why. But if you're a listener from a project in Linden, New Jersey, you've heard this story, and you might have been a witness to this story. And just to give his worker, his coworker, carbon monoxide poisoning. So we were on a job. Fast forward a couple of years later, we're working on a roof, and it had a fall protection card on, and clearly said, "Do not tie off to this anchorage point. This is for lifting only." Said it in English. Said it in Spanish. Said it in Portuguese. Everybody on that project was either an English speaker, Spanish speaker, or Portuguese speaker. Right? Was on there. Everything nice and labeled. What do you think happened? A guy went and he was supposed to, a guy was improperly connected. I go up to the guy and said, "Hey, no, you're improperly connected." "Well, what do you mean?" "So-and-so told, hooked that up." I said, "So-and-so, oh, really? Because it says on there, don't use that for fall protection, or don't use that for fall protection, that's for lifting only." I said, "Look, I got to stop things here." And I go up and I said, "Look, I have to ask a couple of very uncomfortable questions here." I said, "What does that say on there?" I said to the guy in charge of making the connections. And he looked at it and said, I don't know what it says. Maybe you should tell me." I said, "So you don't know what?" I said, "What, do you speak Spanish? Do you read Spanish?" "Yes, I do." "Do you read English?" "Yeah, okay." "Are you Portuguese?" "No, I don't know. I said, "Okay. Why did you connect that off to that when it says don't do it?" And he says, "Well, what do you mean?" "Well, I just connected off. I just did it. I do it all the time." I said, "You're the confident person." He said, "Yeah, I'm the confident person." I said, "Okay." So I took the other guy and I said, "Either one of you guys have problems? I mean, are you having an argument? You don't like each other? You know, you're having an, he owes you money or anything like that?" He says, "No." And I said, "Well, then why would someone, why would, then your question, you, the work, have to say, why would he do something like that to you? Are you having a problem with him? Or do you like him?" I said, "Because the last time that I had a situation similar to this was with a carbon monoxide detector. And the guy was upset, right, shut off a carbon CO alarm because he was having an argument with the guy on something outside of work. And it had to do with he wanted to go out with his daughter. True story. And the one guy said, 'No, you cannot go out with my daughter. I will forbid that from happening.' And he was then the other stuff and all this other stuff." I said, "So did you, do that?" "No." I said, "Well, you know, I have, because I tell you what, if you, he were to fall off the roof and I think I'm up like this," I said, "guess what? I'm not liable for a criminal act. All right. I have very limited liability. If I have someone who deliberately does something like this," I said, "by the way, that's where the police are going to see it too. Know that even in New Jersey," this was in New York, I said, "even in New Jersey, someone who is in charge of tie-offs deliberately making a tie-off, I'm sorry, that's a criminal act. I'm sorry." "Oh, I didn't know that." Never had that problem again. They didn't like me very much after that. But we never had a problem there with that. So let's get back to the story here. Now, this is what I want you to do, to realize. Every state that I know of, there's a crane license. Every state that I work in doing construction work, there's a crane license. How many cranes are operated out there, either in, let's say, a shipyard or at a yard, whatever, you know, a yard. You know, you have a construction company, you have a construction yard, something. How many places have people operating cranes that are not licensed? And people are not licensed. That crane has not been inspected in years. Happens all the time here. So they were cited for three things: identifying and replacing or otherwise repair corroded and cracked pins or bolts designed. They failed to do the following: to secure the crane's climbing frame and apply ends connectly properly, ensuring the use of fall protection equipment, and conducting pre-inspections of crane components before allowing employees to start work. Ensure cranes are inspected properly by a qualified person for damage or excessive wear. The agency also cited a crane rental company for two serious violations. Again, it sounds like that they weren't even on site, for failing to do the following: observing deficiencies in significantly corroded and cracked pins and bolts, allowing employees to start work without conducting pre-inspections of crane components, again, every day, including, and then periodically by a qualified person, including but not limited to U-clamps, bolts, pins, and everything else. Again, all of this goes into it. Again, what do they ask? I'm going to tell you. This is the way, and again, how much was it? $61,299 in penalties, and a man died. I don't know what to tell you on this one, guys. Okay, so let's look at these proposed penalties and citations here. And we are on, they have 15 days to respond, and this was issued, I'm not sure exactly. I know when the press release was, which was earlier this week. All right. October 29th, Tuesday, this was issued. So they have 15 days. So here you have 29 CFR 1413. Again, stuff, apparent deficiencies, exposing employees to fall greater than 300 feet to the ground, did not identify, shift inspection did not identify anything. That's 11,292. Citation item two, did not ensure fall protections. Fall protection was used. This is under, during erecting, climbing, and dismantling work, the employer did not provide and ensure the use of fall protection for, the use of fall protection equipment, and this sounds like a support R, I believe. All right. Violation here. Or on a walking working surfaces, 16,131. Citation item three, pre-erection inspection. Before each crane component is erected, must be inspected by a qualified person for damage or excessive wear. Employer did not ensure this. I'm sure. Now, someone said, oh, yeah, we inspect everything. And then what's the next question? Okay, prove it. Where's that checklist? Where's that app? Where's anything? Video. I've had people do inspections by video where they couldn't, you know, whatever, and they recorded it. And so, okay, this is November 1st, 2024. I did, I'm making this up, but this is how it goes usually. And I am inspecting whatever, and this looks okay. Again, you know, with that, I don't recommend it that way, but, you know, with that, the employer did not ensure the monthly inspection documentation. Wow. So here it is. The monthly inspect, other than series, citation two, item one, the monthly inspection items checked, the results of the inspection, the name and signature person conducting the monthly inspection, I just said this, and the results of the inspection were not documented and maintained by the employee, spelled wrong, who conducts the inspection. All right? So, again, not inspected. They got them on zero on that one for a grand total of $38,000. Let's mosey on over to the other company. Again, is the stuff in writing here? CFR 1926-14, a competent person did not begin a visual inspection prior to each shift of the equipment in use, or did not complete the visual inspection. The inspection must be in consist of the observation of wire ropes that are likely to be in use during the shift for apparent deficiencies. 11,292. Pre-erection inspection, citation one, item two. Before each crane component is erected, it must be inspected by a qualified person. And it goes through the same thing. It's basically the same thing, 11,292. And no documented inspection on here, $0. Again, if I were you, right? So you're looking for, and I'm going to end it right there. So if you are looking for a safety meeting, here, if you're looking for a safety meeting, and you have cranes on site, and you hear all this crap, and if you're a safety person, where's the documentation? Where's the documentation? Where's the documentation on these cranes and this and that? I would go and I would edit this. I would show them this. I would get this report off of the OSHA website and use this as part of your safety dog. That's all I got for tonight, folks, here. Again, if you have the opportunity, please go and get a vote this weekend. Because I tell you what, depending on your jurisdiction, it's going to be a madhouse this weekend. It's going to be crazy this weekend here. So we're going to end this right here. We'll play some maybe some music with Safety Warrior at the end from Safety Warrior. And we will see you back here on Monday. And I'm hoping to everyone's well. Remember, find out when you have a source. Double check, check, double check, triple check. Right, the beginning report here on from the House of Representatives is a little bit unsettling for me, and I hate to say, you know, I told you so. 21 years ago. Ah, I'm getting old. 21 years ago. But I've been pointing this out. This is all part of my in my career for a long time. You're not being told the truth. You're not being told complete information. For Safety Wars and everybody here on the Safety FM Network, good night and have a great weekend. Enjoy it.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
To get me rolling, burning bright like morning's golden. Fuel me up with dreams I'm holding. Spark the air, let's get it going. Oxygen fills my lungs, I'm breathing. Every whisper feels like fleeting. Fires dance with no retreating. Hold me tight, let's chase this feeling. With heat and fuel and air we soar. Flames ignite, can't ask for more. In the night we'll start a roar. Dance until our feet are sore. Chemical magic in the night. Chain reaction takes
Separate, we lose the place. Lost within the smoke.